Kelly Moser is a values-driven business strategist, speaker, and host of the popular podcast, The Aligned Success Show. She's got 10 years of experience supporting businesses from Fortune 500 powerhouses to hungry mid-sized startups and scrappy solopreneurs. Her work centers around the magical alchemy between spirituality, science, and strategy to help leaders unblock their brilliance and step into the next level of their aligned success. Kelly, I'm so excited to have you on Aligned with Purpose in Life and Leadership. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I know that we are going to have such a good conversation because we are aligned.
Yes.
In so many ways. I didn't want to use the word, but it really is the only word to describe, I think, how synergized we are in our approach.
Very, very much so. And I actually love to start it off with this question. And what does it mean to you to be aligned with your purpose?
Oh, such a good question. I think I spent a lot of years just not recognizing that alignment was the issue in my life, but just feeling off. So this is one of those concepts that I feel like I learned about from knowing what it wasn't, from being able to recognize in my body that what I was doing, the people I was surrounded by, the environments that I was in actually made me feel not well. And I think by recognizing that there is such a connection between what we spend our time and energy doing, who we spend our time around, and how we feel, that to me started to open up this conversation and curiosity about, well, how could I feel if I were, you know, in a different environment and a different situation that maybe allowed me to use more of my gifts or allowed me to really feel like I was honoring my values more. So for me, feeling aligned with my purpose is first and foremost about actually feeling physically well, mentally well, emotionally well. Because that's, I guess, the entry point that I found this work through was feeling very not well for a long time.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And if you were to take us back in time to when you were feeling unwell, I mean, look, a lot of people are feeling that way, but don't make a change. And so what was that turning point where you're like, okay, there has to be another way. And what did you do about it?
Oh, such a good question. You know, the phrase, if you listen to your body when it whispers, you won't have to hear it scream. Mm-hmm. I never heard a whisper. All of a sudden one day, it just felt like my body was screaming at me and my brain was screaming at me. I was in a corporate job, working for a company that probably most people have heard of. And I was just didn't feel like, you know, I would walk into work and I would kind of go through the motions. I did a lot of clock watching. That was a really big sign for me. I wasn't used to watching the clock. I had just graduated college, had always loved school, loved my classes, loved all the extracurricular things I was involved in. My days flew by always. And then all of a sudden, when I got to my first kind of job in the real world, all I could think about was this clock in front of my face. And I just watched it every half hour. It's like, oh gosh, only a half an hour has gone by. And my relationship to time really was something that drew my awareness to maybe this isn't the most aligned fit for me, but I pushed through it for a long time because I was, you know, the good girl that always did what I was told and always completed all the things that I signed up for and always delivered on my promises. And then one day I had a panic attack at work, and it was not an isolated incident. It was really an accumulation of a lot of, you know, those little, now I can recognize it, those little moments of discomfort, little moments of stress, little moments of anxiety. And one day I just couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that really felt like the beginning of the end of my corporate career. But I also, at the time, I had no idea that I was also battling a mental illness, which was post-traumatic stress disorder. I had no idea that I had picked up or developed PTSD when I was a child after a traumatic event. And I'd actually lived the first 21 years of my life with PTSD, but I had no idea. So I was already operating with a pretty dysregulated nervous system. And I had no idea that that was the case. And I was just pushing. And I thought the solution to the emptiness that I was feeling was to just do more and to push more and to achieve more. And so that's the pattern that I created for myself. And before I knew it, I was totally fried. I was totally burnt out. And so there was a moment at work that one day when I was feeling the most anxious I've ever felt in my life. I think I'd had like 2 coffees that morning also. Now I know I can't drink caffeine, but at the time I didn't know. And it was that moment of just, this can't be the optimal way to live. This can't possibly be how humans are supposed to feel every day.
Mm. Wow. Wow. So it started with clock watching and really the anxiety attack that was like, okay, hey, something's got to shift here. This isn't the way that it should be. And I feel like those little moments of discomfort, a lot of people don't really, really pay attention to them until something big does happen. And it's like, yeah, it's yelling at you before it whispers at you. And okay, so you said one day you couldn't take it anymore. And you thought that the solution to the emptiness was to do more and achieve more. I feel like a lot of people find themselves in that situation where they're like, okay, if I just hit this milestone, if I just do this next thing, then I'm going to feel better. And you're like, this can't be how humans live. I'm curious. Yeah. I'm just curious. Why do you feel like that comes up and we feel this need to do more and achieve more?
I think it has so much to do with trauma. I think it has so much to do with patterns and conditioning. For me, my coping mechanism was always to do more, because it was an escape from having to sit with discomfort or sit with stress and anxiety. And I got rewarded for doing more. It was always something that I received a lot of praise for. I was, you know, the one that could, if there was something that needed to be done in the 11th hour at work, they would give it to me because they knew that I would do it. And so I think when you're constantly rewarded for your hard work, when you're constantly told how productive you are, what an amazing worker you are, those things can become quite toxic, but they can also become the kind of crutches or coping mechanisms that we think we need to rely on in order to receive love from people or receive respect from people. I know that's what it was for me. So for me, it's been a lot of kind of deconditioning, allowing myself to explore my value and my sense of self-worth without necessarily being the most productive all the time.
Wow. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like when you're experiencing results and achievement, sometimes it can be hard to shut it off. I think we're pretty similar in that sense for sure. Now, so you're in corporate at this time, these things are starting to happen to you, these little nudges. Now, when did you experience the call? Like, hey, because you talked about, okay, you got this thing, maybe this isn't the way we should be living, but did you feel the call of like, okay, there's something else out here? And what did that journey look like?
I definitely felt that. I remember being on my lunch break one day, walking down the street in Midtown Manhattan. And I remember thinking there must be more than this, right? And so I had that initial calling and I didn't do anything about it because I was so young and I thought, I don't know what else to do. I don't know. I've never quit a job before. I don't know how to find a new job. I'm just going to have to be stuck here. And so many years of hearing that call. There's got to be something more. There's got to be something more, and not doing anything about it because I was so terrified. I ended up taking baby steps towards my calling. So I left that first corporate job. I found a job that was a little bit lower stress, a little bit more flexibility, gave me a little bit more freedom, felt like I was operating in my gifts and my strengths a little bit more. So that was kind of the next step. And then the step after that was starting something on the side. So for me, it was starting a coaching business that was really focused on helping people heal their nervous systems through meditation, helping them connect with their intuition. So it was very deeply spiritual work. And it was so fulfilling for me. It was a kind of fulfillment that I had never experienced even for a second in any of my other roles at any of my other jobs. So I knew that there was something there, but I lived a long time kind of straddling both of these worlds where I had my strategy and operations hat on all day. And then I would come home and, you know, check in with my coaching clients and get to activate a totally different side of myself that just felt so in flow and so easeful and so aligned. And it took a long time. Actually, it was the universe gave me the ultimate kick in the pants to say goodbye to my 9-to-5, which had become so many more hours than 9-to-5. It was just so taxing, so exhausting. I was working in the startup world and there are no such thing as set hours in the startup world. You just work until the job is done. But my mom got very sick at the start of the pandemic, and she's made a totally miraculous recovery, which I'm so grateful for. But she did need full-time family care for about 6 months. And I was the only person in my family who was okay. I actually wasn't available at the time because I had a full-time job, but I was, you know, the person without children. I was the one who had the most flexibility. So I said, I'm going to leave my, you know, startup job and just be there with my mom, savor this precious time. Who knows how much we have left. And when it came time to go back to work, I'm, you know, using the quotation marks with my fingers, I couldn't go. And I said, you know what, if I don't give my purpose, this beautiful business that I've created, that's still small, if I don't give that the chance now, I'm never going to, because I'm going to fall right back into the, you know, rat race, the long hours, the working weekends, and it's never going to get the chance that it needs. So that's when I really took the leap and said, I'm in this now. This is really what my day and what my life is going to be.
Wow. Wow. Such a powerful story. I'm so glad to hear about your mom.
Thank
you. By the way, I know how scary that can be. So then you decided to go all in entrepreneurship. Now I think I know the answer to this, but sometimes it can feel a bit like a roller coaster. Journeys of ups and downs. So how did you keep yourself going even when it maybe felt like it was hard or maybe even impossible? What was going on in your mind if we're talking about more of the resilient type of mindset?
Oh gosh, I still feel like it's hard. I feel like it's hard all the time, but there were definitely moments where I wondered if it was too hard and if, you know, the inconsistency and the instability was just too much for my nervous system that had traditionally been dysregulated anyway. Would I be happier? Would I actually be more comfortable in a job where I could predict the steady paycheck? And I grappled with that for, you know, a few months, but ultimately I decided that I was going to give this my best shot. I gave my brain contingency plans. I said, you know, I'm not above working at a restaurant. I'm not above working in retail if that's what I need to do to make this work. And I never had to do that, but I was so ready and I was so okay with pursuing a non-traditional path. And I applaud people who say, you know, I'm not quite there yet, you know, relying on my business for full-time income that my business can't support me yet. I am going to get a supplemental job that feels like it's manageable, that feels like it's something that, you know, doesn't suck every last bit of energy out of me. And I think the biggest thing for me moving through those moments of, is this too hard? This feels really hard. For me, it was about cultivating a mindset of not just resilience, but experimentation. So allowing myself to say, because very early on in my business, everything was, you know, a personal failure. Every little failure became a personal failure. It was all very emotional. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn to think about my business less as a soap opera and more as a science experiment, which is really now that's a skill and a real practice that I've had to grow into. Because when things are an experiment, you're detached from the outcome. If the outcome doesn't work, like a scientist doesn't walk away upset from that an experiment didn't work. They walk away saying, okay, I learned that, you know, this approach maybe isn't going to produce the results that I wanted. And now that's how I approach my business. And I feel so liberated all the time because I know that no matter what happens, it doesn't mean anything about me. It's just that experiment didn't turn out the way that I had hoped or maybe expected it to. And then I get to iterate and try something new. But transitioning from that, everything I do is a personal failure. I'm never going to get this right. Is this ever going to work? To, okay, I'm going to try an experiment today. And maybe there are parts of it that'll work. Maybe there are parts of it that won't. Maybe none of it'll work. But no matter what, I know that I have the tools to just iterate and try a different experiment.
I love this so much because I feel that's what stops a lot of entrepreneurs. Like they could feel on fire, like they're aligned with purpose. And then all of a sudden something happens and they fail and they let it get themselves down to the point where they go back to the job that doesn't light their soul on fire. And so I love that of looking at it like a science experiment. I've never used that terminology before, but I would say that's how I approach everything. Mm-hmm. And it is fun. is like, hey, that didn't work. Okay, cool. Let's tweak it a little tiny bit. Let's learn from someone else how they did it, because now we know the thing. It's like the more you experiment and try different things is the more you grow and learn. And I love that. Thank you.
Absolutely. I think too, when we feel like we're getting closer to our path of aligned purpose, sometimes we either subconsciously, maybe consciously, expect it to be without challenges. And I think just knowing that even the right path, even the most perfect aligned purpose for you is going to, there still will be challenges. There will still be problems to solve. I think kind of reconciling that both of those things can be true at the same time. You can be living your purpose and it can still feel hard some days. You can be living in alignment and you can, you know, have lots of challenges to overcome and problems to solve. I think just reckoning with the fact that that never goes away, but are the quality of the problems that you're solving fun? Does it feel exciting and energizing to solve problems rather than draining and demoralizing? I think that's a pretty good indicator that if solving problems feels demoralizing, then either you're not treating it enough like an experiment, or maybe you're still working your way towards that path of really aligned purpose. So pay attention to whether experimenting feels energizing and exciting and fun, like a puzzle, or does it feel like the end of the world and something that you absolutely just dread doing?
Now, if someone's listening to this on more of the demoralizing side of things, if they almost feel like they're spinning their wheels, kind of feeling, out of alignment. I mean, how would you work your way back to feeling excited solving those problems?
That's such a good question. I think start by asking yourself, is there something that I'm missing? Am I trying to fit a square peg into a round hole? Is there something that I haven't allowed myself to admit to myself? Is there something here that is buried under there and I'm just trying to ignore it because I just want the success? I want this to work so much. Am I following my own aligned strategy, or am I just following what other people are doing? I think that's a really good indicator. If you can trace what you're doing right now back to what someone told you to do because it worked for them, or it's something that you saw, you know, someone else being successful with, so you're trying to implement it, there's a really good chance that that's actually not your most aligned strategy. It's just the most available strategy that felt the closest to something that aligned for you. So if you could just pause and ask yourself, if I knew for sure that there was a way to make what I'm doing right now feel more aligned, what would that be? So rather than wasting your brain energy on, is this aligned or is it not aligned? Go straight to, I'm going to make the assumption that there is a more aligned way to go about this. What could that look like? What would that look like if I were just a little bit more aligned?
Wow. I love this. I love this so much because I feel like a lot, especially in the coaching industry, right? We're all coaches and we usually coach on something we've really struggled with. I work with a lot of coaches and that's usually the thing that they're helping other people through because they're so close to it. And I've noticed a lot of times people will work to also emulate what it is they're learning and implementing, thinking that's what they should be sharing. I've fallen into that before. And I think that's what led me out of alignment for so long. Like here, an example is like, I was learning how to private label and sell products on Amazon. And I was doing this. And so I went and I coached how to do it, but that's not necessarily, you know what I mean? And so if it's a trap I've fallen in before, I'm sure other people have as well. So you're saying the one question, which I wrote down over here, if I knew for sure what I was doing would be more aligned, what would that be? So that would be the question to ask in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think being willing to maybe hear an answer that you don't know what to do with is really important, because of course we want to kind of stay within the scope of what we think the changes that we can affect right away. We like instant gratification. We like to make small changes. Sometimes the answer is a bigger change and we push that away and we avoid and resist that because we're not ready to take that big action. So I think the step between finding yourself in a place where you have to make a huge change and finding yourself in a place where you just feel stuck all the time is the space of, I'm just willing to hear what the answer is. I don't need to act on it right now. I don't need to make a major life change tomorrow, but I need to at least give myself the gift and respect myself enough to hear what the truth is. Mm-hmm. And your soul is talking to you all the time. If you give your soul the microphone, it will talk. And just give yourself the permission to hear it without forcing yourself to take action right away. I think that can feel very dysregulating and very scary when we know, okay, I'm going to hear something that's going to ask me to make a big change. Just hear it. You don't need to make the big change right now.
Mm. You know what? I feel like it's not taking the pause that for me, for so many years, had me out of alignment. So I just wanted to do the thing and I wanted to do it now and be successful. Right. But that took so much more time than just giving myself like a week, a month, what, yes, a year, whatever it would have taken. Just imagine if you could just shut off the need to achieve and the need to do right away, to just focus on living your life while it flows through you.
Yeah.
I understand that now, but I didn't back then. And boy, I wish I could have filmed this episode with you like 4 years ago.
It's so true though. I think that's why we have so many great ideas when we're just sitting on the beach, when we're out for a hike, because we're open and we're not in problem solving mode. We're just in receptivity. I went on my honeymoon this summer and I came back with like massive life perspective changes. And not because I was trying to figure anything out, because I stopped, because to your point, I took the pause. I allowed for the dust to settle. Sometimes you really have to take yourself out of problem solving mode to actually find the answer, which is so ironic.
I feel like that's the whole personal development journey. You always realize, okay, the external is a mirror to your internal. And you just realize how full circle everything becomes when you just take a step back. Although that could be sometimes the hardest thing for us to do. So then that kind of brings up another question, which is like, how do we actually turn and bring our brains on board to be this asset rather than a liability, especially as entrepreneurs building up a business?
That's such a good question. I really think that your brain and your soul are adversaries a little bit, because your brain wants to keep you safe. Your brain wants to keep you alive. Your brain wants to know exactly what's going to happen. And to your brain, the only thing that is 100% safe is what you are doing right now, because it knows that you can survive what you're doing right now because you're still alive. You're still breathing. Your soul is the part of you that wants adventure, wants to expand, wants to experience the fullness of life, the richness of life, reach for that highest purpose. So those two, I think it's really important to recognize that you have this internal, I won't use the word battle, but it's a conflict. There are conflicts of interest here. Your brain has a job. Your soul has a job. They are two different jobs. To be able to facilitate dialogue between those two different, really both very important parts of you, I think is really important. So sometimes an exercise that I love to just do is I'll sit down with my journal and I'll ask myself, what is my brain telling me about this situation right now? And my brain usually has something to say like, it's not going to work. This is terrifying. Are you crazy? This like, what are you doing? Because my brain wants me to stay exactly where I am. And then I'll turn the page and I'll ask, what is my soul telling me right now? And my soul is usually like, let's go for it. Let's try, you know, let's tap into this gift. Let's tap into this little piece of magic. Let's try a totally new approach. Let's just go for it. And I think being able to mediate, almost as if you have like two friends, thinking of them as two friends who have different priorities, different interests, how would you approach, you know, trying to figure out what you're going to do on a Saturday night with two friends that didn't want to do the same thing? You'd have to have a conversation and figure out, what's our priority right now? Is our priority safety? Okay, maybe we'll listen to our brain right now today, but we're going to start to figure out how we can work towards the vision that the soul has. Or maybe we're just ready to dive all in with the soul and follow its guidance and throw caution to the wind and say, let's do it. But I think really recognizing that we are so multifaceted, there's nothing to be ashamed of. If you do feel fear, you're biologically programmed to feel resistance and hesitation before you do something new. And just recognizing that all of these different players, these different stakeholders need to be heard, because if they're not, if you just, you know, disregard what your brain is bringing up to you, the concerns that your brain has, that can sometimes get louder and louder and louder as you get bigger, as you make more impact, as you get closer. The book, The Big Leap, is one of my favorite books. I'm not sure if you've read it.
Not yet.
Oh, it is so good. It is so good. It really does such a good job of illustrating that we have these limits in place, but they're not because we're you know, playing small and we're dumb and selfish. It's because we have a vested interest in our safety. And I think really recognizing that those limits serve a purpose, but they can also be transcended. They can also be gently pushed a little bit higher, a little bit farther. It's a great book, and it really illustrates this concept, I think, really nicely.
Oh yeah. Thank you for the recommendation. It's been on my list, but I'm going to move it up because it's really powerful.
It's a good one. I'm due for a reread. I'm in a new stage of life, and I think I would benefit from revisiting.
Beautiful. Now I love those two questions, and I want to highlight them again. She's talking about journaling, which is one of my favorite things to do as well. I think I filled up an entire journal in like, I don't know, less than six months like this.
Oh my
I bought a thick one too, because I was like, all right. So it was, what is my brain telling me about this situation right now on one page? And on the other, what is my soul telling me right now? And yeah, that's really powerful, because it really is. It's like these two inner voices that, yeah, they both in a weird way, they do want the same things, but they want them in a different way.
Yeah, so, exactly. Exactly. They do want you to be well and happy, but they approach them in two different lenses. Your soul is through expansion and your brain is through protection and safety. And you can have both, but sometimes it takes a little bit of negotiation and collaboration between them.
Absolutely. Now, we've brought up resistance a little bit in here, and we're talking about coaching as well, but I feel a really massive skill set to have, which I've allowed to evolve in my own life over the past couple of years, and that's being able to coach yourself. And so when you're feeling this resistance, how can you coach yourself in ways like this where you think, oh, hey, I know I'm struggling with this, but let's go take out the journal and let's drop into these questions. Like, how do you do that?
Oh, such a good question too. I'm a Virgo rising. So I like to have formulas and processes for things and frameworks and outlines. So I have a self-coaching framework that I use that I teach all my clients, all my students. And I would love to just share a brief overview with you, because I think it really can help to get to the heart of what's going on. So the first thing that you want to do is just dump your brain out onto a sheet of paper. Or you can also, a great way to do this if you're not a journaler, is to just record like a video or record a voice note on your phone where you just talk and there's no objective here. It's kind of like, if you've got that handbag that you have not cleaned out in like over 2 years and you just dump it out on the bed, just see what comes out. And then you want to identify what the problem is, because I think a lot of times we jump right to problem solving, but we skip actually identifying what the problem is. So maybe the problem is that you are feeling unfulfilled right now. Maybe the problem is that you're feeling really frustrated, but take a moment to really identify what is the problem that I'm trying to solve. Then what I like to do is move into a brainstorming phase where you come up with every possible opportunity, idea, potential solution, and you write them all down. Because another thing that we like to do is we go straight from, I think I have a problem here, to let me find a solution that I think is going to be the answer. We put so much pressure and we put such high stakes on what that answer, what that solution is. Give yourself like the good fourth grade old fashioned brainstorm session and write down everything you can think of, even if some of those things that you're writing down feel ridiculous or, you know, like they're not going to work, just write them down. Then drop into your heart space, drop into your intuition, and go back and read the list of all the potential things that you wrote down, all the potential paths forward, and notice which ones give you that sense of whatever it is you're looking for. Maybe it's excitement. Maybe it's groundedness. You can actually feel your body reacting differently to different ideas. So go back, review them. It might be that, you know, ideas number 3, 13, and 27 all elicit something in you. There's a physical reaction of some sort. So highlight those, because the solution that you move forward with might actually be a combination or bits and pieces of the different paths forward. But you want to ultimately leave a self-coaching session with an experiment that you're going to try. So rather than say, here's the problem I came in with, here's the one solution that has to work for me, otherwise I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, you walk away with, okay, here's something that I'm going to try. And it's based on a very well thought out process. I entertained a lot of different possibilities. I tuned in to see which ones felt the most aligned for me. And I'm going to create a little experiment for myself. And for the next, I recommend 7 days, I'm going to start implementing this path forward, this potential solution, whatever it is. So, you know, this could look like saying, I'm going to work a little bit on this one goal that I have every day for the next 7 days, and make sure that you set aside a time at the end of your trial period, your experiment period, to sit down and evaluate and revisit that original problem and ask yourself, am I closer to feeling like that problem is resolved or solved than I was 7 days ago? And if you do feel that way, then it means that your experiment is probably working. It's leading you in the right direction. And if you don't feel like you're any closer to having that problem solved, then go back to that list of all the different potential paths and strategies that you considered when you were trying to figure out what you were going to do next, what step you were going to take, and try something different. So it's really this process of unpacking what's going on, identifying what the problem is, identifying where you want to go with it, what a resolution would feel like for you. And then thinking about, what are the steps forward for me? What can I try? And if what I'm trying isn't working, I'm just going to make small tweaks until I feel like I'm getting closer to resolving.
That's so powerful. And I love the list, because you can always go back and revisit it and choose something different. So it was brain dump. Mm-hmm. Identify the problem.
Yep.
Brainstorm.
Yep.
Drop into intuition. Leave with an experiment. And then also set aside a time in about 7 days to where you can just evaluate how things were going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's one piece that I think I kind of touched on, but really forgot to explicitly land on, which is, after you identify what the problem is, what does a solution feel like to you? So not what is the solution, what does a solution feel like? And then as you're, you know, going through that list, you can tune in and say, does this feel like it's bringing me in that direction? Or does it feel like it's bringing me somewhere else? Because it's really important to kind of have that picture of the puzzle on the box as you're putting the pieces together to kind of know what you're moving towards.
That's beautiful. And I think before I was really in tune, I could say, okay, cool, I wrote down a list, but maybe none of them feel a certain way. I still think, like, for me, my eyes will still gravitate and keep going back to the same exact, you know, like, even totally. If we don't, like, I don't think for, I've done an exercise, not as in depth as this, I'm not going to lie. So I'm going to use this, but my eyes would always go back to it. I'm like, okay, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Yep. Definitely. I also think about, like, when you go on a shopping trip and you find something really cute and then you put it back down and you're still thinking of it a few days later.
Yep.
See what you're still thinking about too. Like, after you put this down, if you don't come to a solution, just put it down, walk away from it, and just see what you're thinking about, you know, 6 hours or a day later.
Well, I'm excited to use this. I actually have a decision to make about something in my life right now, and it's been driving me crazy. So I feel like this is going to be really helpful.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. This really just slows down a process that we tend to let happen in like 1 second. You know, it really just draws it all out so we can see all the different steps. And I use this all the time and it really helps me.
Beautiful. Now, there was another question I wanted to ask you, and it was around mindset and energetic shifts in your life that are needed, right? You're building this successful business. You're feeling like things are in alignment, but as you continue to grow as an entrepreneur and as a person, what needs to change to hit that next level?
There are a few that come to mind. The one that I'm going to share that made the biggest difference for me personally, and I can only ever speak from experience. The one that made the biggest difference for me was thinking about visibility in a totally different way, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs think about getting more visible, putting yourself out there as a reward for the success that you've created, right? It's great. Once I hit my, you know, 10K month, once I hit my whatever, 7-figure year, then I can go out and tell people how I did it. And I think a lot of us are in this pattern of treating visibility as a reward for success. Mm-hmm. The mindset shift here is to think about visibility as a tool to create the success that you want. So rather than think it's kind of like a chicken and the egg you know, situation mm-hmm. where we think, okay, I have to create the success first, and then I can go tell people about it. Then I can go tell people about me. Then I will have earned the right to share my story or teach people something. When in reality, the success comes from you being more visible. I think that there is a lot of, you know, I kind of fell prey to this, this mindset. And I'd be curious to know if you've ever felt this way, or if anyone listening has ever felt this way. We hear so much about don't chase, attract, don't chase, attract. And I think that there's so much action. There's so many verbs in between doing nothing, like, you know, just really sitting in your power and being magnetic and chasing. There are, you know, I don't think that raising your hand for an opportunity is chasing. I think it's advocating for yourself. You know, I think there's a difference between banging down someone's door and forcing something on them and versus, you know, just saying, hey, I have something that I think would really benefit you. Or, hey, I think I'd be great for this opportunity. I think I'm exactly the person you're looking for. I think those two things, number one, starting to treat visibility, you know, opportunities to be on stages, to speak to new audiences as a tool to create the success that you're, you know, and your heart is meant for you rather than a reward for the success that you're having trouble creating. That being one mindset shift. And then the other being, you know, I think it's all well and good to say, I want to attract the opportunities that come into my life, but nobody's going to know about you unless you put yourself out there, unless you, you know, say, hey, here's what I have to bring to the table. Here's the value I can add. I think there's a lot of people who are in super passive mode right now, who think that they're doing the right things, who think that they're, you know, tapping into attraction marketing when really they're just hiding. And I think there's a big difference there too. So I think those two mindset shifts really changed the game for me. And I know that it's hopefully something that is refreshing and exciting for others to hear too.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I feel I definitely have been in that space. And I feel like when it's too much in terms of chasing is when it feels out of alignment or it feels a bit draining, because yeah. I've definitely been on both ends of the spectrum there. And you can tell when it feels like too much.
Totally.
That's when you feel like you need a break. It's like, okay, maybe we need to boost up the attraction side a little bit
exactly.
more.
Exactly. And lean into everything that you've created and say, okay, I've done enough. Now let me sit back and see what comes. But I think there's, to your point, there's either never taking that chance to say, let me sit back and see what comes, or sitting back and seeing what comes without, you know, doing the work to put yourself out there and raise your hand and be in the right rooms and make important connections, which that's how, you know, that's how those opportunities come back to you. But sometimes you do have to make the first move.
Absolutely. And I feel like sometimes people don't pause long enough to actually look back and see how far they've come to even Absolutely. Be like, I actually should speak on that stage. And I think sometimes it takes them being in that environment, listening to a podcast like this to say, you know what? I could host my own podcast. Mm-hmm. I do have something special to share with the world,
yeah.
But people don't pause long enough
yeah.
to celebrate just the journey that they're on, right? It goes back to what we said in the beginning, striving for this achievement that sounds pretty cool in the moment. And, you know, you can celebrate it for a night, but the achievement's the journey, let's be real. So
absolutely. And no one listening to this, you might not be where you want to be or where you thought you would be yet, but I guarantee you're not where you were 5 years ago.
Yes.
I guarantee you're not where you were a year ago. And just, if you just, you know, give yourself permission to, as exactly as you're saying, pause, look back, reflect, there's mountains of gold and so much value in just what you've experienced. Even if you haven't mastered the thing yet, even if you're not at the income month that you think you should be at, there's so much value in just your journey, because you are not in the same place that you used mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's, you said like, think. And to me, that's so big, because I feel anytime we think we should be somewhere that we aren't, it's such a beautiful opportunity to say, okay, cool. Well, what experiment do I need to go after now that's going to give me the lesson needed to actually get to that next level? Because there's a reason.
Yes.
That it's not there yet. Mm.
So true.
So I'm curious, do you have anything else that you're feeling called to share to anybody listening right now?
I think that what I would just love for people to hear is that the time is now to really step into your power and raise your hand for the things that you want. Tell people. I think something that I see a lot on Instagram is kind of make moves in silence and don't tell people what you're doing. And I think you absolutely should tell people what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, absolutely do clue in the people that you trust, of course, to support you. I think there's been so much. This is something that I struggled with, this idea of just hyper individualism. I'm going to do it all on my own. I'm going to build my house brick by brick by myself. When in reality, leveraging what other people have built sometimes is the right choice and reciprocity. Okay, this person is working on this goal. How can I support them with that goal? Without, you know, without the motive that, or expectation that then they'll support me too. But becoming more into collaboration, coming more into community, allowing people to support you on the journey that you're on, opening yourself up to other people's ideas, being connected to people that you might not be able to tap into without others. I think that we're entering a new chapter maybe of entrepreneurship, leadership, where it's, you know, doing everything on your own is not the flex that it used to be. Mm. It's actually, you know, not as great as, or as cool as, or as impressive as maybe we've been conditioned to think that it is. So I would really just encourage everyone listening to think about your network. Think about the people who are in your circle right now. How can you reach out to them and ask them, what are they working on? How can I support you? How can we do this together? Maybe there's alignment between a goal that you're working on and a goal that someone you know is working on. You will get there faster if you do it together. And I think it requires a mindset of abundance. There's enough for both of us. It requires a mindset of you're not my competition, but you're actually a partner alongside of me. And we're both, you know, it's not me versus you, it's me and you versus the things that we're trying to change about the world and the things we're trying to help people with. I think that's a really massive mindset shift. And I would really just encourage people to lean into that and see if that feels really stretchy and uncomfortable for you to even hear me talk about, then it's a great invitation to start doing it.
Mm. Oh, I love that. I feel like the things that are most uncomfortable, or you get that little feeling in your stomach,
mm-hmm.
lean into it every single time.
Absolutely.
Next level calling you, waiting for you. So to those who are eager to connect with you and learn more about you and what you coach on and experience your podcast, please share any way that we can get in touch.
Thank you so much for that invitation. Yeah, I'm on everywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find my show, The Aligned Success Show with Kelly Moser. If you just type in my name, you'll find it, offering a ton of value over there. I really love to teach on my shows, so I design it to feel as intimate and as valuable as one-on-one coaching. So definitely start there. Send me a message on Instagram if you'd like to connect further. I'm at kelly.moser. My last name has two S's because someone in my family didn't know how to spell. And I'm a big voice noter. So if you send me a message, I will always voice note you back and follow along so that I can, you know, cheer for your business and support you in any way that I can.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Jamie. It was so great to connect with you.